This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Facebook's stock took a hit after the news broke that 50 million accounts had been breached and used to create profiles of prospective voters. Since then, the company behind the breach, Cambridge Analytica, has been suspended from Facebook. Nationally, people are concerned about how it affected the Trump presidential campaign. The president used Cambridge Analytica, and the company was backed by Robert Mercer and Steve Bannon. But the 2014 North Carolina Senate race may have been the testing ground. Cambridge Analytica boasts Republican Senator Tom Tillis as one of its success stories. Joining me now is WUNC Bureau Chief Jeff DeBeery. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
Cambridge Analytica brags on the website that they helped get a win for Senator Tom Tillis. Tell us about the Tillis campaign's involvement with Cambridge Analytica.
Well, let's just refresh listeners' memories to note that this was one of the most expensive races, U.S. Senate races, in the history of the U.S. Senate back in 2014. And Tom Tillis, then the Speaker of the North Carolina House, unseated a one-term incumbent, Democrat Kay Hagan. This was a race that was very close, separated by 1.5 percentage points or 46,000 votes. That's out of more than just about 2.8 million cast. And, Tom Tillis had, in his campaign, had a lot of different vendors and folks that they used and relied upon. As it pertains to Cambridge Analytica, they spent $30,000 with the campaign in 2014 to do what's called micro-targeting and essentially create voter profiles. And one of the things Cambridge Analytica talks about doing is, and this is legal, well, in practice what they do is legal. If they're getting information illegally, that's different. But they do this thing called micro-targeting, and they're trying to raise voter turnout and identify people who have strong partisan leans but may not be always voters, frequent voters.
All right. Talk about the amounts here. The Tillis campaign made four payments to Cambridge Analytica afterwards. So there was a $30,000 during the campaign, but then there's something called a win bonus. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and win bonuses or victory bonuses are pretty common in politics. If you run somebody's campaign, if you are a vendor, if you provide some sort of service, it is common to receive money in the event of a victory. What is uncommon here is the disproportionate amount of money that came after the victory. So $30,000 during the campaign, $100,000 or 333% afterward. And I talked to strategists on both the right and the left yesterday, and they all said to me, we've never heard of that much money being backloaded for a win bonus. Now, maybe that's because this was a new practice and this was something new, and the campaign said, all right, this is pretty interesting what you're telling us, that, you know, we can identify in what's going to expected to be a close race, we can identify people that potentially could swing this election if, you know, put your money where your mouth is, so to speak, but if you give us good information, we'll give you a big bonus on the back end. Is that feasible? Sure. But this is not a common practice to have that much money come after the win.
Well, as you said, it was an expensive race, the most expensive Senate race to date in 2014, and a close race, a little over one percentage point. Any indication that this kind of analytic and voter data was helpful to the Tillis campaign?
I think every little bit helps when you win by 46,000 votes. That's a good question, and I don't know if we can really parse out at this point that, oh, yes, it was Cambridge Analytica, or it was the firm from Maryland, or it was this expert from Florida that ultimately tipped the scales. But things matter in races that are this close, certainly.
Anybody, we talked about Tom Tillis. What has Tom Tillis said about all of this?
He has said that, whenever he uses a vendor, he expects that they're being ethical in their practices, and that if he was misled, if his campaign was misled by this vendor, Cambridge, that he would be deeply disturbed, or that it would be deeply disturbing. This practice of gaining as much information about voters as possible, that is legal. And at this point, Tillis has said, Senator Tillis, that he had no knowledge that Cambridge Analytica obtained this user information from some 50 million Facebook users without their consent potentially illegally. And at this point, perhaps we should take him at his word. There's no evidence to indicate otherwise.
Any other North Carolina politicians who use Cambridge Analytica?
Patrick McHenry is a congressman. He's He's now, I believe, the fourth ranking member in the North Carolina House, the 10th congressional. He is a Republican. And yes, he used Cambridge Analytica. And we also know that the state GOP party spent significant amounts of money. I believe it was $65,000 in 2014 and then another $150,000 in 2015. They spent money with Cambridge Analytica. And it's not entirely clear if that benefited candidates other than Tillis or if it was also to help with mailers and online advertisements for other candidates.
All right, we're talking about Cambridge Analytica taking data from 50 million Facebook users to target potential voters. Joining us now is Michael Bitzer. He's a professor of politics and history at Catawba College. Welcome back, Michael.
Good to be with you.
Let's talk about this, because collecting data on voters and using that data to help you win is not anything new, right? How is this different, or is it?
It's really not anything new or different. You can go back to, you know, the attempts by Mark Hanna with then-President McKinley's campaign to really start to think about how do you energize, how do you mobilize, how do you reach voters? And, you know, I liken it to whenever you go on Amazon.com and you've bought something in the past, they will show you recommendations for things that you might be interested in or what other customers have bought that are similar to what your interests are. So really, it's profound across our society. Politics and campaigns in particularly have been utilizing this kind of information, but really some of the studies show that indeed the most powerful predictor of how you're going to vote is your party identification. That's the strongest motivator. Now, layering on top whether you drive a particular kind of car or you read a particular kind of magazine may give some indications, but really it's about the partisan identification of the voter and how political parties and campaigns can seek to motivate and energize to get those voters to the polls.
And the Obama campaign, of course, received high praise for its use of technology to connect with millennials. Is this any different?
No. I mean, the difference between what the Obama campaign did and conceivably what Cambridge Analytica did was that the Obama campaign, when you made a contribution, you initiated that relationship. You initiated that contact. What we think is happening here with Cambridge Analytica was, yes, they had people use their app to do a survey, but then they were able to branch out through your Facebook account and scrub for friends and other information that people may not have been willing or even knew about giving that information over. So I think while the process is pretty much similar, the way that they went about getting that information is very different. And I think that's one of the great issues that people are concerned about.
Yeah, and you may have answered this when you talked about party identification being the strongest indicator, but I wonder, too, about the effectiveness of all of this, because if you run these companies, you're promoting yourself over and over again. So you put Trump on your website, you put Tillis on your website. But I think, you know, in some ways, these are like the high priests of the ancient temple, right? The volcano didn't blow today. It's because of the sacrifice of the goat that I did yesterday.
Well, as you indicated, you know, the difference of 40,000 votes or so in the 2014 U.S. Senate election, everybody can claim that they helped Tom Tillis make that victory. I think that it's really the indicativeness of does a campaign target voters based on their partisan identification? And in North Carolina, all the voters register by a party affiliation or unaffiliated, and you can access that information. That's the most powerful tool, because we know if somebody identifies with one of the political parties, even though they may say they're an independent, but they lean to one party over the other, they're going to vote 85, 90, 95% of the time for that party. That is the key indicator in a lot of studies that I've seen.
So the effectiveness of this technology is one question, but as Michael Bitzer points out, there are some questions of legality, ethics, scruples in all of this. Jeff Tiberi. Tom Tillis is now associated with Cambridge Analytica. It has become a kind of a nationwide story. We see certainly Facebook pulling back and trying to distance itself. Is there political fallout by this connection between Tillis and Cambridge Analytica?
I think it's too early to tell, to be quite honest. I think this is going to lead to certainly other examinations. There's a story out of the Denver Post this week that Cambridge Analytica received some $440,000, and Republicans retained a narrow Republican majority in the Colorado State Senate. So I think it's going to be interesting to see over the next weeks and months what other connections emerge. And then if there is, in fact, pushback from voters, if they care more about all of this data being procured from them. But at this point, I don't think there's a major fallout. Not yet.
All right. Well, we will keep tabs on this story and stay focused. Jeff Tiberi, WUNC Capital Bureau Chief. Michael Bitzer specializes in Southern politics and history at Catawba College. Thank you both for being on our program.
My pleasure.
Absolutely.
You can see links to their work at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we're going to learn about a new project that connects young activists with the civil rights era of the 1960s and 70s to young organizers today. And you'll hear about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.